sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up. Episode 107, I'm down to brawl. All right, bear with me here, because this is like, this is a favorite I'm about to recite, and I'm going to take my time with this one. Right, another one, I'm trying not to fuck it up. All right. Well, it's 91 and I'm here. It's 91 and I'm living kind of swell now. But I hear that you're going through some hell, pal. But life making record ain't easy. It ain't what I expected. It's hectic. It's sleazy. But I guess that the streets is harder. Oh, my God. Trying to survive in the life of a young godfather. My homie is making it elsewhere. Striving. Working 9 to 5 with no health care. We both had dreams of being great. But his deferred and blurred and changed in shape. It's fate. It wasn't my choice to make. To be great, I'm giving it all it takes. Trying to shake the crates and fakes and snakes. I gotta take my place to fall from grace. To grace. Did I say that right? I gotta take my place to fall from grace. The bullet's late. The pace is quick and great. Smiling face to hide the trace of hate. But my homie would never do me wrong. That's why I wrote this song. If you ever need me, it's on. No matter who the foes, they must fall. Up against them all, I'm down to brawl. If my homie calls.
Message.
Hey, welcome and bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzard, aka B Dot Black, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B. Ting, 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 ting. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going with aka Gaston Lagaffe, but we'll think about that. It's not that he was my favorite cartoon character, but I just liked his favorite, I just liked his expression, buff, I use that term as in like, I don't give a fuck, buff. All right, before I start today's show, I need to inform you new listeners, first of all, welcome, but I gotta let you know that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. That means rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. Blah, 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 blah. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City of Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on August 30th, 2023. Happy hump day. And it's 7:46 p.m. Kind of a little chilly out there. Chilly, little chilly. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking crew, and if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. That last part is just my way of saying, is my way of saying, hey, viewer discretion is advised. The following podcast deals with very mature themes, specifically, especially about race. Viewer discretion is advised. That's my way of saying, yeah, man. Yo, man, I ain't trying to hear no fucking complaints. I don't hear you bitching about, well, you're going to make it about race. You were fucking warned. It's like, go listen to Joe Rogan or some shit like that. This ain't it. All right? You been warned. Okay. Now, allow me to read my diary. No, what's that line about pushing? Doesn't matter. All right. Okay. New listeners, welcome. This is how we break down the show. We got three segments. Call it three acts, if you will. The first one is the introduction. That's the theme, that little blurb at the beginning. I introduce myself. You know what I mean? I kind of like, you know, get to know each other. Like if this was comedy, I'd be like, yo, anyone celebrating a birthday? You know, trying to warm up the crowd. I like to use the term foreplay, but, you know, I don't want to scare you. Some of you dudes might, who are not too secure in your masculinity, might be like, you're trying to turn me gay? You know, I mean, yeah. It's funny. I'm sensitive to one segment of an audience, and I'm insensitive to another segment of potential audience. I am weird like that. Yeah, don't look for consistency on this. To those it makes sense. To those what I say makes sense will make sense. Anyways, yeah. So what I say, introduction and establish. Try to give you a perspective kind of podcast this is, and I like to read off a few quotes just to get me started. Right. And, all right, forgot. The second second act, is called News and Random Thoughts. And last one is Final Thoughts. I'm thinking of calling, Final Thoughts is, the lap dance. You know, if I was a stripper, you know, if you've been to a strip club, you got the stripper on stage. And if you like what you hear, you might as well stick around for the last part, Final Thoughts. So that's, I'm working on a better analogy, but... Before I keep going, I just realized that I'm deep in here. Right. All right. So before I finish today's intro, I'm going to read off two quotes. Again, shout out to my man, Talal Macy, who is now following me. I was blessed to see that he's following me on Twitter. I don't know whether he interacts on Twitter, but hey, Talal Macy is following me on Twitter. Anyway, yeah. So... two quotes I'm going to read out that I got from him. The first one, the author's name is, I forgot that I preloaded the site and I have this bad habit of clicking on it. All right, okay. So the first one is a reminder. Oh, no, this one's not from Talal. This one's from Inspirational Quotes. And it goes, be a good person, but don't waste your time proving it. I'm not going to explain that one, but you know, if it hits you, it hits you. If it don't, it don't. All right. Second one is, and this one came from Talal Macy, and it goes, author's unknown. It goes, prove yourself to yourself, not others. I'm going to repeat that. Prove yourself to yourself, not others. I guess it links to the first one, but yeah. I think for me, it just goes along the idea of something I'm working on is being a better fan of my own self. You know what I mean? Ride my own dick. Does that make any sense? That don't make any sense? Ride your own dick? Anyway, yeah. All right. Okay, that's the intro. Let's jump to news and random thoughts. And yeah, take it from there. Damn, I love that sound. Yeah. You know, I'm confession. When I first started out podcasting, I wasn't a fan of my own podcast. But then again, and I know what you're saying. Well, if you weren't a fan, why the fuck were you doing it? Because I was learning. Because I was refusing to believe with all the talents that I have that I couldn't put out a good podcast. So I was thinking it's not the fact, the hatred is not because I wasn't putting out something I didn't like. The hatred is just this nasty habit that I'm working on getting over, and it's just it's a habit of not believing in my own self. So that's what it's all about. So all this to say, I really like the little improvements I made to the podcast, like this one. Fuck, I love that sound. You kids, I don't know, you know, you may not like it, fuck you, but for me, enjoyed it. All right. Okay. Second thing. I wrote this note. I said, like a poet's album. The last item that I have in using random thought had me consider, because it goes on politics, and I was debating whether I should make two separate podcasts, one for politics and one where I do personal growth shit and reveal and get vulnerable and shit like that. And because I was worried that the politics would distract people from the growth. And that was at 3 again. Yeah, I was having one of those moments of, fuck, I don't know if I heard this podcast. I think this podcast sucks. And it hit me. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. It hit me. I'm like, nah. This is my shit. My podcast, these episodes are like, to me, they're like an album, no, by a poet, by a spoken word artist. Example, Talon Macy. In one album, you'll get a love poem. You'll get something about politics. You'll get something about personal growth, where he's very vulnerable. And something about black consciousness, spirituality, all meshed into one. And it works. And it works for him. So I guess that's what I'm trying to... I guess it's my way of saying that I am not putting out a podcast that's made for the mainstream. I mean, that'd be great. But I mean, nah, man. It's a selective... I guess what I'm saying is the audience I'm going for, it's... You're either down or you're not. No fucking in between. No, hey, I would listen to your podcast if it was shorter. I would listen to your podcast if you talk more about bitches. You know what I mean? I would listen to your podcast if you blah, 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 did everything that you're not about. And I'm Hail Mary, man. That's what it's all about, man. I'm doing my shit. But my point is, I'm not changing the format, man. The world can suck my dick. And, yeah, I'm going to try it, either get rich or die trying type of thing like that. Either it works or it don't work, but I'm willing to find out. All right. Speaking of poetry, I'm sharing a quote by Vincent Staple. Wait, hold on. Vince Staple. And who is he, you might ask? Well, you shouldn't be asking, but, he's a rapper. Vince Staples, right, from L.A., and someone on my Twitter feed posted something that he said that I fuck with, I can relate to, and you know what, I'm not going to use the AI bot this time to read it, I'm going to read it myself, right? It goes, Vince Staples speaking on festivals and how some artists don't know how to perform, and I love this first question. Okay, he goes, are you making show to entertain people or are you making show to boost your ego? I can relate to that because I used to say the exact same thing when I did comedy or any kind of public speaking. Are you trying to serve the audience? Are you doing it for the audience or are you doing it for your ego? You're doing it for the audience? You trying to get bitches after this shit. Is that what it's all about? You just trying to get... glory after it. Now, okay, I'm gonna be careful in my words because I don't want to sound like holier than thou. Who knows? Maybe I'm being a chump by trying to serve the audience and not focusing on myself. So, I guess it's not my intention to be holier than thou, or it's not my intention, but maybe the impact will end up being holier than thou. But when it comes to entertainer, public performers. My favorite or what's up my alley, any form of entertainment, the people who are up my alley or the folks who like bleed for their audience, who do it for the audience. And then when they're done, they're like patted on the back. That's like, it's like, oh, wow. Oh, shit. People like it. You know what I mean? They're not up there to like convince an audience that they're better than you. They're greater than you. I grew up in... I grew up in the church, and I could tell the pastors who did it just so. In Haiti, there's there's this expression. I don't know if it's Haiti, but I know my mom used to say that a lot. He goes, just want to show off their ability to speak French, or just want to show people that needless to say, she was saying this in French, but basically, pastors who get on and use six syllable words and a 20 minute sermon, not a 20 minute, an hour sermon, fuck that, no one's paying attention to. By the time you're done, you're like, oh shit, you're waking up. But they feel like they've been like murdering it up there. It's like, yes, God is the intricacy of your perplexity of your, and whatever, you know, it's like, they're up there, and at the end, they're like, so what'd you think of my sermon? I have no idea what you said, Pastor. I'm just saying, yeah. My point is, I've learned to hate performers who they make it very obvious they do it for their own, just for their own gratification. I'm not a fan of them. Like, I've actually known comics. I won't use the word friends, but we were colleagues. But they were the type, they did it for the ego. But what kills me is some of them were fucking good at it. Or maybe they were serving the audience. And the ego part was just an image or something. Maybe it was just because in my mind, it's in, people who perform for their ego usually suck. But I, you know, that's how I look at it. Anyways. So Vince Staples is on my radar for saying that. Then I'm gonna read the rest. It goes, I guess I should credit the Twitter account I'm following. He goes, you know what? Hold on. Oh, shit, I'm not even following him. Fuck it. I'll do it. Following. All right. Gotham Hip Hop. I'm probably following him. It doesn't matter. Okay. Are you making show to entertain people or are you making show to boost your ego? He says he learned how to create a better show from Chance the Rapper while they were both opening up for Mac Miller. You have to create a show that's for the people and that are passing by. The way he incorporated dancing, Lauryn Hill, and interwining things that didn't have much to do with him since he was still relatively unknown at the time, but the fan understood it and he made sure he was entertaining by the time he got to a bigger stage, to the bigger stages, and he was a proven performer. You know the thing about Chance the Rapper is he comes from, he grew up in a church, and I'm sure he took a lot of elements from not preaching, but from praise and worship. I'm sure he took some of those elements and used it into hip-hop. Yeah, I think that's a lot of where I was getting my examples of how to be on stage. Like I said, we're from performers who bled for their audience. And I'm talking about gospel artists, praise and worship musicians. Like they were up there. They weren't like, yeah, I mean, in their mind, they're serving their creator. And by that, serving the audience in their mind. But they were like, they're playing the fuck of that or out of that organ. You want to drink water? No. I ain't done yet, you know. Spoken word artists. Preachers who gave a fuck. Public speakers. Rappers who, yeah, you know what? I remember Big Daddy Kane used to talk about how in the early days, the reason he did the jewelry and the dressing up and the dancing, he got it from Diana Ross, from past performance. He learned that, yo, when you get on that stage, you put on a fucking show. It bothered me when hip-hop like started going downhill in terms of performers. And this is not an old guy complaining about modern-day hip-hop. This is more an old guy saying, this is why you rarely catch me on a hip-hop show. Unless it's like someone like a legendary artist, like KRS-One. KRS-One puts on a show. He gives a fuck about the fact that you paid good money in this tough economy to go see him, and he puts on a show. I've seen him. Like Rick Ross, I would not see him in concert. I don't even think he raps. I think he just lip syncs. He might have pretty women on. I don't know. I think he's just on stage with his shirt off, and I'm not entertained. I'm not saying don't go see Rick Ross. I'm saying, yeah, I'm not going to see Rick Ross in concert. All right, what else did he say? Okay. Vince also mentioned that part of the problem is that sometimes artists with one or two hits blow up without a catalog. Learning how to tour, you have to have, excuse me, learning how to tour, you have to have bodies of work. Wow. You don't like, what's his name? Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. He's got two songs, right? You don't even have to have a full set with these 2-minute singles. We need more full length projects. I think Vince is absolutely right. Artists need to hone their craft and improve their performance through practice so they are ready for the big stages. Oh, for the big stages when they get there. Yeah. Oh my God. How did I not like this? Whatever. Yeah. Anyways. So shout out to Vince Staples for being amongst the great entertainers out there. I mean, he's a rap artist, but he's also, he's on that stage and he's like, I'm here to entertain y'all. Shout out to them. And also shout out to him for this piece, for this article it feels like another kick in the ass to get back into comedy. You know what I mean? Yeah. All right. Looking at the time. Looking at my Gucci, it's about that time. Hold on. This next one, it's so funny. I labeled it on what I personally mean when I say Black Trans Lives Matter, right? And before I give my explanation, I'm going to play this clip by this content creator on TikTok that I recently... Am I really not following this? Oh, yeah, that I recently started following. And their name is Black Queer Liberation. And let's just say that I knew it hit me. I had decided to play this clip yesterday. But I knew I was doing the right thing when I saw Tariq Nasheed share this clip and dissing this content creator. Tariq Nasheed is on the list of black folks who make me hate racism even more, not just because of the white folks, but because of racism, I have to be fucking allies with guys like him. I don't like Tariq Nasheed as a content creator and his ideas. I'm not a fan of the dude, but if our back was against the wall, him and I would be throwing down at the end and setting our differences aside and then after remembering that, yeah, we don't like each other. So, yes, I'm going to play this clip by Black Queer Liberation, and you'll understand why the Tariq Nasheeds of the world didn't like it. All right, so here we go.
Conversations black people aren't ready to...
Black queer people have the most revolutionary potential.
Okay, let me, just so it's clear, all right? Conversation that black people aren't ready to have, and Black Queer Liberation is responding. Here we go.
Conversations black people aren't ready to...
Black queer people have the most revolutionary potential in the black community because we always have. You love Angela Davis, but you don't want to talk about the fact that she's lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
You love Asada Shakur, but you don't want to talk about the fact that Kwaze Balogun, a member of her Black Liberation Army, was the reason that she got safely to Cuba.
Mm-hmm. Malcolm X. It's a picture of Malcolm
Need
X.
Need I say more? I'm going to share with y'all a quote by Asada Shakur that I learned from a black queer man that I organized with in New York City. It is our duty to fight for our freedom. It is our duty to win. We must love and support each other. We have nothing to lose but our chains.
Mm.
Black liberation means liberation for us all.
Us all.
And those of us that are the most marginalized have the most revolutionary potential because we realize that.
All right. Now, hearing this reminded me of, you know what? Fuck. Maybe I should call this show Arguments on the Internet. This, when I was on Facebook, back in the days on Facebook, I forget the group that I was in. And this black dude was talking shit about the notion of Black Trans Lives Matter. And he was like, what do we have to say? Trans lives? It's all black people. So it's all black people's lives matter. It's like, you fucking idiot. And going back and forth with him made me realize why I personally see what I mean by Black Trans Lives Matter. And that's my way of saying that these combat boots, the war These combat boots ain't coming off. The war is not over until their lives matter as well as us. The revolution doesn't end. Like, I remember, I grew up with, as a teenager, and, you know, trying to find a style, and I was into the whole, at the time, it wasn't Hotep. I mean, look at this Hotep shit. It was being pro-black. It was being part of the, it was being African-centric, man. I was wearing the whole medallion. I was ready, like, you know, I was probably, like, one N-word away from going back to Africa. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going back to Africa, like, you know, back to Africa, not like the way white people want you to go back to Africa, like back to Africa, like Nas at the end of Belly type of shit like that. Even though that whole storyline didn't make sense. But my point is, sorry. At the time, Africa was this big, huge black utopia. Shout out to my Nigerian friend, you know, sorry, my Nigerian friend, Bodhi. Man, I just use his government name. Yeah, for real, he's all right. Anyway, shout out to him because he used to. So when I was in the whole pro-black, go back to Africa movement, he was like, bro, he's from Nigeria, and he's like, bro, Africa ain't nothing like these black American rappers are telling you it is. black American, these African-centric black American rappers are acting like it is. We gonna be free of the white man. Yeah. You're gonna have different problems. Holy shit, where am I going with all this? Right. I grew up with, as a member of the Hotep movement, and I believed in all that shit, you know, black liberation and blah, blah, and all that stuff, you know, and black people need leadership. Now, when I said shit like that, I meant the black man needed to be saved, you know, like I wasn't, feminism was an attack on black masculinity. I still remember the first time I heard Angela Davis speak at Carleton University, right? For you Yanks, Carleton is a university in Ottawa. You know, it doesn't matter. Y'all got universities in the States, right? Or is there a thing of college? Or whatever. I think you got, yeah, whatever. Okay. Yeah, they got university. I'm sorry. My apologies. Right. So I heard her speak at Carleton University. And I remember all I knew about her was she was an ex-member of the Black Panthers. So I was expecting to hear shit about, okay, we're going to get these guns. We're going to go kick the doors down the parliament, in the parliament, and shoot these crackers up. That's, that, you know, because I was young, dumb, didn't know shit, right? I was all about full-fledged revolution. I'm like, give me the word, Farrakhan, anything. You know, I was angry. I wanted to fight. Just wonderful. I didn't know about planning and all that shit. And most of her speech, what year was this? Must have been the 2000s. Most of her speech was addressing feminism. I'd say 75% of the speech, feminism, homophobia. And at the time, I hadn't clicked in on, I was on that religious belief about, like, I don't know. Like, at the time, I was going through a homophobic phase. And by homophobic, like fucked up homophobic. Like, I thought gay marriage meant I had to get gay married. You know, I thought that the gay agenda was to, hey, buddy, here's an agenda full of men. Pick a husband. You know what I mean? Like I was that fucked up. Okay, I'm exaggerating, right? But let's just say I was not very friendly. I was not a compadre, a comrade to our siblings in the LGBTQIA+ community. All right. I was ignorant. I was uninformed. I was unenlightened. Okay, let me just get out the way. So I remember thinking, what the fuck? Being confused about what? I think I wasn't using the word yet, but I think it was like the equivalent of, yo, is this chick trying to be woke? I didn't get it. Like, I had no idea she was lesbian, right? But I remember thinking, what, is this a trend thing? You're trying to get on this whole gay thing? You know? I didn't get it. I was expecting to hear some Huey P. Newton shoot the cops, shit. You know what I mean? And Huey P. wasn't about shooting cops. But I'm just saying, I was like, can you please sign my beret? And what kind of gun do you think I should get for the revolution? Like, I was expecting, okay, the revolution will be on this date. White people, you can't come in, right? I was expecting shit like that, something stupid. I was young, dumb, didn't know shit. Anyway, all this to say, after finally some enlightenment, I was made aware of, I realized that in our community, we have gay siblings, lesbian, homophobic siblings, lesbian, all kind, you know, the whole non-binary, queer folks, and all the whole, you know, black people are a diverse group. That's my point. And what hit me, I know at one point it hit me, it's like, holy shit. They've been in our community. They've been fighting with us from the get-go. Women, all of it. They've been on the fucking front line. And the whole time, man, not to say that, man, we didn't do shit, but a lot of us spent most of the time making the whole struggle about us. It was just about, what about our problem? It's like, hey, I'm thinking of Tupac's track about his mom, what she had to go through raising him. She was like a revolutionary soldier, and she had to take care of these badass fucking kids. I think it was, I think one of the times that I questioned the masculine, I remember, I know I'm repeating Talon Macy's name a lot on this, but it must be because I'm going to see him next, holy shit, it's next week, holy fuck. Apex Spoken Word is next week. Holy fuck. It's all, that's coming quick. Oh, wow. I got to start packing. Okay, stop recording. By the way, there's likely not going to be a show on September. I'll let you know. But okay, where was I? Oh, right. So Talam, he's got a piece and he talks about how, I'm paraphrasing it, but basically how he goes, my dad was the man when he had his hand on the police throat. And I remember going, yeah, that's badass. But fucking ran the fuck out, broke the fuck out on a mortgage, kids, and a car note. I'm like, whoa. What? Like that contrast of the revolutionary soldier who's like ready to go to war with the police. But when it came time to take care of their families, peace, I'm out. Fuck that shit. You know, I remember that idea contrasting in my head and thinking, I think it's one of those things that started to get me to challenge my understanding of masculinity. Damn, I'm talking. It's a good thing I limited to three things, right? Okay, all right. I'm talking more time than I wanted to, but all this to say is when it comes to the revolution, my allies are people like Black Queer Liberation, Angela Davis, Asada Shakur, you know, I'm the revolution doesn't end until our siblings in the LGBTQIA+ community aren't free as well. All right. That's it. Yeah. I picked a side. Okay. Last content I have, you know, I am not going to play this clip here, but, I am labeling this as I had an incident where I happened on Tuesday, and it's been fucking with my mind until before this episode. So I'm going to summarize, right? And I'm labeling this segment as, should I even bother with someone who doesn't vote? So what happened is, I'm just going to describe the incident. So what happened is that came across someone posting something on TikTok, because like I do, I always talk about content that I discover on TikTok. And someone was just talking about how, what's the word? How, I guess I should have gotten the story. But it was about how, there's an incident in Canada. It's like, I think they're saying, CBC, here, let me just get the, I'll read the original clip. And it goes, hold on, let me see if I could find it. Badafuku. Let me find. Okay, you know what? I got into a I was having a conversation with someone on TikTok who happens to be from Ottawa, and they were explaining about how developers in Ottawa were given I think I found it. Hold on a second. Here, make sure I don't hit play.
Capitalism, y'all, is I dead. Just got
this. Hold on a second. All right, okay. Montreal home builders didn't build any affordable houses 2 years ago. Told developers that they. Okay, yeah. So it's a story about how situation of home builders, the government wanted them to build some affordable housing, and the builder was like, fuck that. We don't make any money from helping poor people. We make money from whatever. Okay, I don't have a full story, but the point is, it's a story about how capitalism sucks. Bottom line, how capitalism is heartless. How we have a whole bunch of people without homes. And we have all this fucking resource to help them out, but it's not profitable. So this content creator was presenting this story about, you know, and the bottom line is capitalism sucks. And I jumped in. I jumped in as in a sense of it is what it is. It's not that I'm agreeing with it, but it's more like, yeah, who knows? Maybe I'd be, if I was rich, if I was a shoe, maybe I'd be one of those assholes who'd be like, yeah, fuck them homeless. You know, I can help the homeless, but what am I, a sucker? Fuck that. I don't know. But I remember saying, it's like me reacting to this cruel world. You know what I mean? So I remember responding with, fuck, you know, I forgot what I said, but something like, nah, fuck that, man. Take that money that you were going to give to these developers and keep giving it to law enforcement so they can continue to punish people for not having homes, right? So it's another way of, defund the police, but fund the police. Keep funding the police so they can keep addressing the homeless situation, the homeless. You know, it's like, hey, well, what are you doing on the street? I don't have a home, sir. Bang, 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 bang. In jail you go. Like, let's put that money in there. Now, let's not take that money and create affordable housings or some shit like that. No, no. That's the status quo. And I'm thinking of all these crazy Christians who are supposed to be helping these people at home, and they're like, you know, fuck that. Ooh, man, they stink. Get away from that. You're lowering my property value. Hey, look, I'm just upset at this fucking world that we live in. So, I responded with that joke, and homie responded back saying, hey, yeah, you know, he laughed, and like, I think we were bonding. I'm like, hey, an ally, we were bonding, and he said, yeah, man, I know a few bootlickers who'd say that stupid shit. And then he said, problem with these bootlickers is these assholes also vote. And homie responds with, ha, 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 yeah, I don't vote either. I don't believe in voting either. Fuck. And he has no idea how I was like 0 to 100 when he said that. Because on one end, we're talking capitalism sucks. I get it. You know, we're both on the same page. You know what? Yeah, we're both on the same page. But then he said, yeah, I don't believe in voting. I'm like, fuck. Don't get me wrong. Here's the thing. Get me wrong. I don't care. Here's the thing. And okay, I forgot to say that. After he said that, I was holding it in. Because on one end, I'm like, you are anti-capitalism, so we should be friends. But on the other end is, you don't understand why we have to vote. But on the other end, I'm tired. I can't stand. Okay, I'm going to speak frequently. I forget I'm on my own podcast, right? I'm going to speak frequently. Frankly, is I can't fucking stand the, yeah, this problem sucks. I can't stand the, yeah, it sucks to be you, folks. The, yeah, man, I'm an ally, But my version of ally is just means that I hold your hand and say, man, that sucks the way they beat the shit out of that black person. But when it comes to doing anything about it, it's like, ah, Friends, in, Friends is on. You know, reruns of Friends is on. I got to stay home to watch that shit. It might be an age thing too. So I remember going 0 to 100 and I think we went back and forth a bit. You know, I'm trying to explain the value of voting. And he responded with a video response. And I won't lie, I was kind of flattered. He goes, oh, man, my first video response with my name on it. It was like seeing my name on a television. So I won't lie, I was a little bit flattered by it. But I was also fucking angry. That night, I had a dream. And because there was something else that I had read about people who didn't vote. I had this dream where me and a few people I knew, and it's, the fact I knew them is irrelevant, but, you know, it was just, but it was more the fact that I had this dream that me and a few people I knew, we got kidnapped. I think it's because I must have been watching an episode of Law and Order, but yeah, we got kidnapped, right? We were kidnapped. And here's the thing, we outnumbered the fucking kidnapper, right? You know what we did? The whole dream was more of a nightmare. We spent the whole time complaining about the fact we were fucking kidnapped. We didn't do shit about it. I remember thinking about, hey, shouldn't we fight? Shouldn't we call the police? Shouldn't we fucking scream or something like that? No, we spent the whole time. Ah, kidnap sucks, man. Fuck, man. That dude, he spoke to me mean. Man, fuck, man. I wish there was something we could do about it. I mean, and I remember waking up like it felt real, that situation. And it's like the idea that my hands were tied behind my back. Like there was a problem and I didn't do shit about it but complain about it. Anyway, so yeah, Hobie responded with a video response saying, just trying to explain his point about why he doesn't vote. And here's the thing. Here's the worst thing about it is I fucking get it. I honestly get it. There was a time when I was a teenager, I mean younger, probably still living with my parents, or maybe I had my own apartment, paying rent. And I remember who was running? It might have been, I can't remember who was running. Was it Harper versus, and it was after Chrétien. And I remember joking to a friend about how, we live in Canada. It's not like I have to vote between the guy who wants to bring back slavery and the guy who doesn't want to bring back slavery. And my point is, I remember there was a time where I also believed that voting didn't make a difference. And what I was trying to say is, like, they all sucked. All my options both sucked. But here's the thing. Maybe it's because maybe I've developed the idea of, because I am older now, right? And I know the fact that a friend to all is a friend to none. Either shoot the breeze about it or be about it. Actually, this segment was supposed to be called, if this was a poem, the chorus would be lead, follow, or get the fuck out the way. And what I'm saying by that is, my motto is, and I know I can't write this on TikTok, is look, if you're not about the ballot, you better be about the bullet. If you don't vote, then you better be on the streets at war with the powers that be. I vote because I can't fight. Fuck that. Holy shit, man. They put me in a cell. I'll snitch. I'm useless. I'll be useless to the revolution. All they gotta do is deprive me from food for 4 hours, and I'm like, okay, let me out. All right, okay. Her name is Angela Davis. Oh my, she told us to get the guns and all that shit. Yeah, man, I told her no. I'm like, fuck them. Some of these white folks are great and whatever. Yeah, I'm just saying that's why I vote, cause I can't fucking fight. And it's true. You know what? Okay, let me back up. Right, is I am not having a conversation with people who don't vote because I remember being there, and shit, you could have told me to vote. What I do know is the reason why Trump, I still remember a whole bunch of people, Trump ain't never gonna win, and a bunch of motherfuckers sat out that election. That dude, that's what makes him a fucking genius. He banked on white supremacy. There's a lot of angry white folks out there. Oh, what about these white folks who want to believe that they're better than these angry white folks? Big deal. They're not going to vote. Life is too good for them. I'm just going to keep reminding them about how Hillary sucks. And my point is, this asshole wins. And then everything he said he was going to do, he ended up doing. And all these white folks are like, oh, he's such a mean guy. He's such a fucking mean guy. Asshole. Well, there's this one lady. I heard this one story. I'm not sure if I played it on one of our episodes. There's this one white chick in the States who voted for Trump. She was one of those, all the options sucks. She voted for Trump because as a joke. What she was really saying is, big deal. It's not going to be that bad. I'm in the demographic of people who, I got to vote. Whether I win or lose, I got to be able to say that I fought. Even during our provincial election, I voted. I fucking voted. I voted. I strategically, fuck this. I wanted NDP to win, but I'm like, fuck, they don't stand a chance. I went for liberal. I ain't wasting that vote. Fuck that. I voted, but I knew that asshole was going to win because there were too many. Oh, my God. I worked with a lot of my coworkers were a lot of, I hate Kathleen Wynne is the devil. I don't know, whatever, man. Kathleen Wynne was like what Hillary Clinton is. I don't know how these Republicans / conservatives do it, but they're like expert at convincing you that, by hiding the fact that they suck and convincing you that their other option sucks even worse than them, or to the point of confusing you that they're the worst possible option out there. Look, I get it. All these politicians kiss the ring of these corporate overlords. There's only so much they can do. The only thing we got going for us is all three of them are in a position to say, okay, after they're done kissing the ass of the corporate overlord, they're entitled to give a bone to their people. And the conservatives, when they give a bone to their people, they give a bone to people who are still mad that my parents came to this country, are still mad that Justin Trudeau's daddy let them live here. They're still mad I went to school with their fucking kids. They'll tell you that, no, we're not racist. We're good at it. But deep down inside, they're still mad at it. This country would be a lot better if you Negroes went back to Africa and didn't come back. But I'm from Haiti. Fuck you. I don't give a fuck, nigga. And whatever. Yeah. So, the people who the conservatives give a bone to, they're dangerous for my health. I remember when Stephen Harper was prime minister and he was talking a lot of greasy shit, man. And I was worried in Dominican Republic, they had gotten to the point where they were revoking people's citizenship. And I remember saying, I was legitimately worried that Stephen Harper at some point will be like, okay, I'm going to start revoking citizenship of people who were born in Quebec. Well, they'll figure out. So one thing a white man knows how to do is figure out loopholes. I remember being concerned about him doing that shit, and I was surrounded by people who just laughed. And I'm like, you don't know white people. Anyway, all right, okay. I've talked too much about it, but I guess I'm just going to end this with, I don't think this is the last time I engage someone who prides themselves on the fact that they don't fucking vote. Because we are not alike at all. And I'm just going to wait. Like, I hate, one of my biggest pet peeves with myself is wasting time on the internet trying to appeal to people's better nature. I play myself like convincing, believing that I'm going to say the one thing that they didn't think for. That they're going to be like, oh, shit. Thank you, black guy. Oh, shit. No, that's a good point. Let me inconvenience my life and make shit better for you. You know, I'm like, you know what's amazing is I went, I had like 6-7 items and I cut that shit down because I knew I was going to talk a lot, and look at me now. Right. All right, yeah, I'm oblivious. Like, Wednesdays are supposed to be my shorter episode, but here we are. All right, okay. You know what? I think I said much too much already, but to the question, should I bother with someone who doesn't vote? Yeah. All I can do is hope that one day they'll go through what I went through. I'll be like, oh, shit. Yeah, let me vote because I'm an ally. Let me vote for, maybe I won't gain from it, but someone else will. I think the answer is fuck no, man. It's like, you do you, I do myself. Beat my own meat, and then and we'll live happily ever after. But I am going to end with lead, follow, or get the fuck out the way. If there's one thing I hate the most are just people who are on the sideline or who are just in the way of other people's progress. All lives matter. And you're in the way. Not all men, you're in the way. Protect our kids, you're in the fucking way. No, you're worse than in the way. You know, you're being an asshole, but yeah, you're also in the way. All right, okay. Oh, we got to see both sides of the story. We need to compromise. We're in the way. All right, okay. This concludes news and random thoughts. So let's jump to final thoughts and get the fuck out of here. Oh, man, it's late. All right, because I'm trying to watch some Law and Order again tonight. So here we go. All right. That's the G-Swef. You know, as I'm thinking about finding my tribe, I think maybe I should make this, whatever. This is me. Je vais te parler plus en français sur mon pop podcast. On verra. J'y penserai. J'y donnerai des pensées. Là. Je sais pas. We'll see. What's up with today's title? It came from the legendary rapper Tupac Shakur. Holy shit. His death anniversary is next month, eh? Right. September 16th, right? Yeah. I was there when he died. No, I wasn't. All right. So, yeah. And it came from one of my favorite tracks by him, and it's called If My Homie Calls. And I love this track. And the way it's like, yo, if this cell phone, I don't care if I'm fucking, I don't care if I'm in the middle of doing a test. If this cell phone rings and it's my homie's phone numbers, I gotta go. It's my priority. And what I like about it is how Tupac is, well, one is, I remember when this song came out, and I'm like, who talks about being a good friend? And I think, yeah, the whole track is just about how he values his friendships. And I was moved by it. But that last verse is the one that got me, is, no matter who the foes, they must fall. Us against them all, I'm down to brawl if my homie calls. In the book Decoded by Jay-Z, which I haven't finished. I'm trying to sound like a scholar. But there's this story where he talks about, no, I am lying. It's not in the book. It was an interview by, I'm surprised I remember, but with not McMillan's, oh my God. The fuck's his name again? Shit. Holy shit. Bleak. I used to think Bleak with the baddest bitch. No, Bleak with the, what is it called? I used to think Bleak with the bad bitch. Now the baddest bitch is the average bitch. Yeah, that's how I remembered his name, by thinking of that rhyme. So in an interview with Bleak, Memphis Bleak, and Combat Jack, may he rest in peace, Combat Jack, and he was talking about how, oh, right, when he was starting to beef with Nas. And he had this clip, he goes, and he was talking about how Jay-Z came to his defense. And he was stuck, and he used this line, goes, in my crew, in my tribe, in my crew, if you're, when it comes to dealing with the public, if you're wrong, you're right. So let's say that he does some shit, he fucks up, right? And someone confronts him, and he's with all his homies. Nah, it doesn't matter. What do you want us to do, Bleak? Yeah, he's kind of in the right, but we're not going to tell him that. So blah, 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 blah. So the point is, loyalty was a factor in their friendship. So I joke about, like, if I tell you shit like, dude, I would help you bury a body, that's me being loyal. That's me showing you loyalty. And that's what I like about the track, If My Homie Calls, is just talking about how he's a loyal friend. Now, I say all this because I'm going to answer this next question. What's your biggest struggle with friendship? Someone on Twitter asked that question, and I've been reflecting on it. And now, before I answer that question, I'm going to read the thread by, by Dr. Nicole LaPera, and she's a holistic psychiatrist. Open September 1st. Yeah, okay, anyway. So she's been silent, but she posted something on Monday morning. That shit got my attention. And all I knew is I said, that's what Final Thought is going to be about. All right, so I'm going to read this out for you. It goes, friendships are confusing because our culture is so focused on romantic relationships. I so agree. So we don't know, not just friendship, all relationships. So we don't know what to expect in friendship. We also shame ourselves for having normal friendship experiences. I started to think about that when, you know what, I won't get into it, but I'll read the rest of the thread. It goes, number one, here is a normal friendship experience no one talks about having. Number one, different levels of friendship. All friendships are not the same. Your connection with certain friends will be deeper. You'll invest more in some friends than others, and that's okay. Two, friendship breakups. Friendship breakups are just as painful, if not more painful, than romantic relationships. People move, their lives change, their values shift, and sometimes that means relationship ends. You know what's funny? I'm kind of like a hoe when it comes to that kind of friendship, meaning it's easy for me to go to X to the next. I'm not bragging. I'm saying I'll continue. I'm just thinking out loud here. Three, ebbs and flows. It's natural for long-term friendships to have periods where you're close and not as close. If the bond is there, you can both understand it's not personal, that you still matter in other in people's lives. Yeah, no, I've had friends who've come to town and didn't hit me up. And I just understood it. I just got it. I just accepted it. It just is what it is, man. Four, guilt. For not being there, we can feel guilty for being busy with our own lives instead of reaching out and saying, I miss you. Whoa, that's very deep here. I'm here for you. If we want to talk, to avoid the conversation, We avoid conversation, connect, don't let guilt keep you apart. Five, staying friends because of history. Maybe deep down you feel your friendship has run its course. Maybe you feel drained after time together, but do it out of obligation. Not all friendship lasts forever. Wait, I'm reading that wrong. Maybe you feel drained after time together, but do it out of obligation. Not all friendships last forever. Did I read that wrong? Anyways. Don't do it out of obligation. Okay, let me reread that. Number five, staying friends because of history. Because in my mind, I'm like, you shouldn't have to, just because we have a history together, doesn't mean we should stay friends. Okay, so she's saying, staying friends because of history, maybe deep down you feel your friendship has run its course, right? Maybe you feel drained after time together, but do it out of obligation. Oh, do it out of obligation. Not all friendship lasts forever. Okay. Got it. You're drained, but you're still friends because you're doing out of obligation. Right. And I'm saying don't do it out of obligation. Six, resentment. Maybe you're upset they didn't call. Maybe you're mad they missed, weren't there at home. I'm sorry, man. I swear I know how to read in English. Resentment. Maybe you're upset they didn't call. Maybe you're mad they missed. They missed, weren't there for that tough time. Oh, they missed, weren't there for that tough time. This doesn't mean the friendship is over. Talk about it like romantic relationship communication is necessary to get back on track. Mm. And last but not least, she asked this question: what is your biggest struggle with friendship? Sharing the comments. Now, I meant to reply. I probably will, but instead, I'm just going to explain myself on this podcast with the last time that I have. Fuck, man. Damn, I talk a lot. Okay, sorry. I'm looking at the time, and I'm like, I've been speaking for a long time. All right, okay. I used to think I was a nice guy. I used to think that I was a great friend until I finally realized, until I reached a point in my life where I couldn't tell the difference between whether I was being a good friend or whether I was just people-pleasing. So when Tupac, so I used to, yeah, I was that loyal friend, but at what cost? See, I'm on this journey here. That's why the quotes that I was sharing was about being loyal to, being kind to yourself and things like that. Is I, when it comes to friendship, I used to brag about how I was great with others, but deep down, I was shitty to my own self. You don't want to hear the shit that I would say to myself. Sometimes still say, I'm working on it. So I don't know if I'm actually a good friend. I have the capacity to be a good friend at the time. I'm questioning my ability because of this internal journey I'm going through. With that said, in terms of my challenges, I would say I wrote down not making friends with the right people. Now that's being a very, that's a, I feel like the person that, yeah, all men are dogs, you know, like, or all women are dogs. Like I'm complaining, I'm blaming all people to why I'm not in a good friendship. I know. And the reason what I'm trying to say is not making friends with the right people is because I realized that all my relationships, if not most of my, no, all my relationships that I considered friendship, were all replication of the relationship I had with my relatives. And I gotta be careful, not all my relatives, but maybe I should say with my parents, right? And what I thought was a loving relationship was actually toxic. So the people I would get close to, and it was always as a subconscious level, didn't realize we had like a parent-child relationship, and I was the child. Like, I guess it just takes the right tone, the right attitude, and I'm back into being a child, and I'm like, they know best. And I'm like in full service mode, and it's fucking draining. Excuse me. And towards the end, and what would usually end that relationship is either they were like, you know, I'm tired of this person, or I was like, hey, wait a minute, I'm being a bitch in this relationship. I mean, I would blame the other person, but I'm realizing that I entered that relationship. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know. It's like my way of saying, yeah, they may have been guilty, but I played a role in that guilt. Like, I know that now. So I guess what I'm saying now is, my relationship struggles, my biggest struggles in friendship is trying not to repeat that pattern at the moment. So it's easy for me to just stay on my own until I can figure things out. The last point I made, I used to enter in friendships and realizing that I was just doing it to avoid dealing with loneliness. I nearly made this episode about loneliness, I might call it walk alone or something like that, but I'm realizing I'm going to save that for the next episode, and where I try to figure out a mature way to speak about loneliness, but I'll stop there. A mature way to speak, a healthy way to speak about loneliness. Because right now, as soon as you say that, yeah, I go for loneliness, I go, oh, you little bitch, what did you do wrong? You know, like, yeah, it's a defect. You're not supposed to be feeling lonely. But that we'll get to that. But I remember that some of the friendships that I kept, they were toxic, and the only reason I stayed in them, just like relationship, was just to avoid loneliness, just to avoid not having someone to call to hang out. and do some bullshit. Hey, you know, like you got to, like, yeah, no, there was a time where, call up the homies, it's about to go. There was a time where, at least I thought, that I had a certain group of friends that I could call that if, you know, if I need to get on that gangster shit. I say friends, I say friends, but back then I didn't use the friend. I said, I don't have friends, I have family. So I would consider these friends family. But like I said, I don't think it's possible to be friends to others if you can't even be friends to your own self. The last struggle I say about friendship is how now I just realized that I have a toxic view about friendship and relationship, like romantic relationships. In my mind, I used to think being a good friend or being a good boyfriend meant looking in the mirror and say, fuck your will, whatever they want, that's what they get. You want to serve, basically, ultimate people. You were entitled to the goal package of the people pleasing aspect of me. And this is why that there are people when they say they're lonely, really what they're saying is, I need someone to take advantage of. I need someone to drain their energy. Like to them, like, so on one end, there's people like me who are like the people pleaser. And then there's other people who are glad to take advantage of those kind of people. Like what I'm saying is two people who are, it's when you put them together, you have a toxic relationship. So in my mind, the whole world, when someone says, hey, let's be friends, what I'm hearing is, oh, you want to be a burden. Like, I guess I don't know what a healthy, it's two things. A, I don't know what a healthy friendship looks like. B, I'm not even sure I know how to behave in a healthy friendship. So I'm working on it. You know what? Now that the more I'm speaking about, the more I'm glad I took on this topic. Yeah, I'm saying when it comes to friendship at the moment, I'm working on it. I thought relationship was my problem. No, right now it's yeah, it's complicated. You know, I can speak longer about it. I could go do a deeper dive in it. Maybe I should write this thing down. Okay, don't be surprised if I revisit this subject, right? But I'm putting it out there that when it comes to friendship, I'm not saying I'm a bad person. I am saying that I know my areas of improvement. Well, some of them. Some. You know what? Okay, this is where part of this comes from, right? Is I was having a conversation with another friend about this. Speaking of which, right? And I was telling them about a conflict I had with another friend who at the time I considered like a good friend. I had like basically someone I considered a good friend. We had a misunderstanding, to say the least. And when I say misunderstanding, it's like I'm thinking of Stephen Covey's we got in a situation where one person wants to go left, the other person wants to go right. Or one person saw black, the other person saw white. You know what I mean? Like two opposite. And because of this views, both feelings were hurt. And I remember being in a situation like, speak for myself. My feelings were hurt. Hurt to the point where I was like, fuck this shit. Nuke this friendship. And it's not it wasn't out of being evil, but it was just, I don't know how to come back from those kind of conflicts and heal with another person where two people come together, speak their minds, even though it might hurt the other person's feeling, speak truthfully, being honest, and feelings are valued, emotions are valued, truths are valued. There's no like gaslighting, there's no tactic. Is, well, next time, try not to be a little bitch about it. You know, oh, okay, well, fuck. If that's how you're gonna react, then fuck it. I'm just gonna heal on my own. You know what I mean? I guess my point is maybe what I did differently is Yeah, no, the in my mind, the situation still hasn't resolved, but I'm just going down a path. I guess I broke out of my habit of saying, fuck it, X to the next. I'm trying to make it work. I'm hoping, like, you know, in the movies, it's so easy. Like, 30 minutes, you have the beef, and then at the end of the 30 minutes, it's like, oh, okay, this is where I fucked up, and this is where you fucked up. Like, both people are like, this is where I fucked up, as opposed to, no, realize, okay, I acknowledge my fault in this conflict. This is how we could move on together from this shit. Like, I don't know how that looks like. I would love to have one of those situations where where you synergize. It's like, oh, my bad. You shouldn't have called you a nigger. I'm kidding. It wasn't that. But I'm saying, I could see how what I did hurt your feelings. And there's this acknowledgement of, I see you. I see what I did caused you pain. Like, those moments. I don't know how that looks like, man. So all this to say, you know what? I was speaking about my therapist about this. It's like, I'm in 48. It's a lot harder to make friendships. But I think to you know, friendship at our age. But I'm questioning whether I've ever been able to. I'm not a bad person. Don't get me. Okay. I don't rip people off or diss them or shit like that. But I'm saying, when it comes to the true definition of friendship, I don't know, man. I'm let's just say I'm thinking a lot about my areas of improvement, and not just like, but more also the picking the right people, not ending up in relationships that are just going to, where I'm just going to reenact the relationships that I had with people with reenact toxic relationships that I had as my child. Like, I get back to the whole parent-child relationship. Yeah, I guess, yeah. Kyle, yeah, again, this is another one of those final thoughts where I don't have any conclusion. I'm just spitting things out there until it makes sense to me, and some of it makes sense. And so I'm going to revisit this, man. I'm just going to revisit this. But I just know that I said everything that I needed to say. With that said, oh, before I end, I was going to say it's conclude. Before I conclude today's show, check out the other links. There's a few links in there that I may reuse on, I may speak about in the next episode, like being a sugar baby, or something Donnell Wright said, or something your pal Austin said. King Face, Haitian dude that who passed away, he said some stupid shit, whatever. Kingface and the last two items in other links will definitely be discussed on the next episode. But with that said, this concludes today's episode. If you wanted to reach out, if you want to contact me, you can find me on the internets on Twitter. As long as Elon Musk doesn't fuck it up. My at is bblizak and shut up podcast. At bblizak and at shut up podcast. You call it ats or whatever. My handle on Twitter is bblizak and shut up podcast. On TikTok, you can also find me on TikToks at b.black. Website is shutuppodcast.com. You can find the show notes there, like usual. And the email address, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website. Or go to Google, Apple, and Amazon Podcast. I should mention Podcatcher, but they're not a big name, are they? Write in if they are a big name. Thank you for listening. And remember, Thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. I just should have said peace. Peace. I am your king now!